forget where I ended up with.
I'll tell Bill where you are.
Okay. I devoured up on my subject.
Well, I think we were talking. You just talked to Bill, and you had just left the movies, mm-hmm. and Bill was waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Bill was waiting for you. That's what he was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then we came up to Mrs. Woods that lived down. She lived down here in that blue house on 4th Street.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay.
Two stories.
The big tall one.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Woods lived there with two sons and three daughters. She was a widow by then. Mm-hmm. I had met her when they lived up in Old Town,
mm-hmm.
but then they moved down there. So I went over there and told them what had happened to me, and I asked her if I could leave my suitcase there for the night. She said yes, and she said, "You come back and you can stay here with Nellie," her oldest daughter's name, Nellie. So that's how I got in with them.
Yeah.
And she knew about me because she was working for a lady downtown. It used to be a fruit company on Jefferson. In front of a fruit company, and the man and his wife, she worked for those people, I can't remember their names. And I worked for Mr. and Mrs. Van Linton across the street. How I got to work with them, that summer, I was working with the cherries, you know, the thick cherries, the packing cherries. We pack cherries in a flat box, make them real pretty, and it had a ruffle on it. And then you turn it over, and then you just throw the cherries in. The first two rows were just gorgeous with cherries, which they sent to New York. Mrs. Grusso was in charge of it. But she, instead of having us take it out of the box, she put it on the belt down there. And the belt was where the cherries and I got goofy.
Yeah.
The cherries stopped rolling, I went rolling. And I turned my head, I'd be all right, and I'd start again, and then down those cherries and stop, and I, then it just made me sick down the summer. So she took me over to Mr. and Mrs. Van Nathan's house. They were across the street. And Mrs. Nathan laughed. She said she knew what that was. But she was losing her eyesight. So she wanted to know if I would work for her. So then I told her I would. Well, that's how I met. We got together with Ma Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And Ma Woods and I would go. She would go home and I would say it. And I worked there, I think, a couple of months. By then,
now we can go. I've got it.
Okay, then I had stayed with Ma Woods, and I got a job downtown with a Greek fellow. He had a candy store where next door to what was called a state theater. And we had a big bar counter and sold ice cream and milkshakes, stuff like that. And I enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, Mary. Downtown.
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 And I'd work 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night.
It's a long day.
Yeah. It was a long day. And that was only $5 a week.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
$5 a week, every day.
12 hours a day.
Including Saturdays and Sundays.
7 days a week and 12 hours a day. So where are you going, Jai?
Bill told me we were going together. Bill said, well, he picked me up at Longwood and he's going downtown. He says, let's get married. I said, no. He says, yeah. He said, let's get married. He said, you don't have to work for me. So I asked Jim if I could have a Sunday off. No. He said, okay. But I went ahead and had my hair done. I was trying to think of the lady's name, but I can't remember it now. Anyway, she fixed my hair, and I bought a dress for $1.50. On a Sunday, we made an appointment, and we got married down at the First Christian Church in the back sanctuary.
Oh, Mary.
And I went home, changed my clothes, put on my uniform, because I had to wear a white uniform to work. Changed my clothes, and went back to church. Got married, never got a day to get married or anything. Well, I didn't say anything to Jim because he wouldn't let me off. So I didn't tell him that I went ahead and got married anyway. And then he found out that Opal Connor was a journalist or whatever kind. Mm-hmm. She worked for the Observer. And she put the ad in the paper that we were married and blah, blah, blah. And he found that out. And then he thought I knew the ropes. And it was all hands. Anywhere he could touch me, he touched me. And I happened to be washing the counters off, the glass counters. You had to keep them clean because people get their fingerprints on them and they're trying to look through the candy bar. And he was driving me crazy. And I took this pan that had liquid water and soap in it. Rammed him with it. I said, that's enough. I said, I don't like that. You're firing. I said, I'm through. And I threw the fan at him. I went in the back room and got my purse and left. Left him. He can stay there till 9 from 9. And I finally got nerve enough to go back and get my money. And at that same day, I run into Mrs. Booty. She was going to the Grand Rock meat market. And she says, well, Mary, she says, aren't you glad you quit me? I said, hell no. I said, I'm happier than I was before. That was one of my things. But I forgot to tell John when I went to the grade school at Central. The kids were kind of ornery, and they told me, they said, did you ever get called to Mrs. McEachern, who's the principal? If you ever get called in her office, you should, she'll beat you with a hose. But she beats the kids with a hose. She's got a hose in her office. And they kept telling me that. And so finally, one day I was called in the office. I didn't know what I'd done or didn't do. And of course, you're going to get it now. Oh, you're going to get it now. You know how the kids are. And I was scared to death. I went down to Mrs. McEachern's office. She asked me to come in and sit down. So I sat down. And then she asked me all about being where I lived, what it was like. What was a mining town like? And we had a nice nice, isn't it? She'd ask me the questions, you know, the men work and all that. And I told her, she said, that's fine. She said, you can go back to class now. She said, there was nothing to it. And boy, when I got back in class, I threw those kids out of the street.
Oh,
it was really something. But I was surprised by the town. I didn't know the street. And I knew one street, which was 6th Street. See, I didn't know about the other street.
Because you used 6th Street to come up and down.
So when I go to town, I always use 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
It took me quite a while to learn where the other streets were. And there again, Gladys was involved. After she had come back, she got me to go to a house party down on the north side. And I had never been on the north side. I knew where the swimming pool was there by the viaduct. That's about all I knew about the north side. And so we went down to the house, and well, to this day, I don't know where it was. And when he got down there, with the drinking and raising hell, and she got involved because she knew the kids. And I didn't know anything about that. I left. I just turned around and left. And I was wandering around the north side. I couldn't find that
rider.
I didn't know where to go. I finally went to a house there, and the lady answered the door, and I told her I was lost. I said, I'm new to town. And I said, my girlfriend brought me down here, but I said, I don't know how to get back to the rider. She said, well, you're on the right street. It's that right street right down below the rider. She said, just follow that. What's true? She says, and keep going till you get to the viaduct. She says, it's there. She says, then you know how to cross it. I suggest after I get over that, I know where I was. Because then I could see, he was that we had a car. We had a car agency where they had a...
Perkins.
Yeah. I could see the lights shining from that, and I walked up to that, and it said 4th Street. But I wasn't sure of it, so I went on through until I got to the intersection where you cross 6th Street, and then home up
6th Street.
After that, I decided that I'd go in the daytime, go walking and find out where these streets were, so I wouldn't have to just use that one street. Because in Utah, this retaining wall come down like this, and there was a screw here. But once in a while, they would merge off and go across the draw. People built houses. But you couldn't drive to your house, you had to walk. You either walked up some steps or down some steps. So you couldn't get lost.
No.
Here's all these strange streets. I didn't know which way to go. And up here I didn't know anything about it till this. Gladys Taylor took me. I'm involved with Gladys.
Yeah, that's the second Gladys, isn't it?
Gladys Taylor's house is up here. The little brown house on the C Avenue, but you come right to it and they were there. And then you turn down Gecko.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's where Gladys Taylor used to live. Well, she took me up this way, and I went up 2nd Street, And I asked her how come this 2nd Street and that was 6th Street, but she said they were added streets in between. So that's all right.
Gary, when you came here and the Spediches were combined with the Thomases, what ages, like, and there were the 15 kids all together,
mm-hmm.
and from how much age double yes. over was
there,
it?
There was Nick was the oldest, Kate was next in their family, and that would be my brother Lou.
Oh, okay.
The oldest.
Uh-huh.
And then Matilda.
Uh-huh.
And then me.
Matilda
was a year older than me.
Uh-huh.
And then after Matilda was Mike, my brother Steve. And so they were Matilda and Mike, and Pete, and Frank, and Holly, and Babe. And on our side was Lou, and me, and Steve, Tony, Ann, and Matt. Matt and Babe are almost
the same age, right.
And Tony, the region between Pete and Frank. Oh, there was Johnny, the one that got killed. Excuse me. Johnny, the one that got killed in the service.
Oh.
So that would be...
Now, that was a Thomas.
That was a Thomas.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And Anne was the same age as Frank. They were pretty close to the same
yeah.
ages. Except for Nick being the oldest.
Uh-huh.
And now there's, in both families, there's Kate, Babe, and Pete.
And
in my, in the Spedich family, Steve and me are also, I think, between me. I'm the older, then Steve, and then Matt. So there's three in that family.
Uh-huh.
You go into Talbot, and they had, let's see, Herschel, Ernie, Jeff, Bill, June, Rusty, and seven. And there's three left in their family.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So there's three in each.
And each one of the three families. How interesting. Yeah.
And it does, for me, to see all these trees. Now, we live in the Rocky Mountains. This is the Rocky Mountains. But the community where we live is called the Uinta Mountains. And I forgot to tell you, this town where I was born in Utah is no longer in the city.
Oh.
It was incorporated,
mm-hmm.
but the Kennecott Company took it over and they dumped, it's this big dump. You can go up and look down and you can't, no visit of the town.
Were the tailings from the mining?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another thing. The underground mine, I went into one of them, and they always had water. Mm-hmm. My dad worked in the underground mine, and he paid. But what he did was he talked for the blast.
Oh.
And you had to know how much ammunition or TNT they put in it so that it wouldn't make a big disaster. And it was great. And my dad, that was his job. Sometimes they had unavoidable cave-ins that they didn't, and people were stranded in there. And my dad bad day at that time wasn't working for Highland Boy, he was working for the Apex mine down below. And they got into one of those. And his brother died, and because it had several days in there, and it had it done. He called carbide, you know,
yeah.
It finally went out because he didn't have enough air.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got him out, but there was two guys, and one of the guys was my dad's brother that died. And my dad never was right after that. His health was bad.
He didn't die in the mine, though, Mary. No. Your dad didn't. No. He died normally.
He died in the hospital.
As a result to a cave-in.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was a result of the cave-in. I missed that part.
Lack of air.
Oh, yeah.
He said that the carbide went out because of the oxygen.
They were in the dark.
Because he didn't have enough oxygen.
And then they could hear that drip, drip, drip.
Be awful. Oh, Mary, that'd be the most awful way to make a living I think I know of.
Yeah, they, my cousin married a young man that came from Illinois, and he wanted to work in an underground mine. And I never could, his name was Bauman, B-A-U-G-H-M-A-N. And he wanted to work.
He wanted to do that.
He died as a result of working in the mine. Mm-hmm. He worked over in York, Utah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What's the most happy memories that you have going to high school here?
Something happy in the school. That is the hard one. I did have one occasion that made me happy. There was a teacher in the school after I came back from my sojourn. I was taking shorthand, but typing.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Hayes was shorthand. And Miss Isabel Williams was the typing teacher. I loved her. She knew I had missed the whole year, but she'd come to me and stand by my chair and repeat, you know, the letters. And I got so I could type the letters. She was so good to me that that's the one I really loved in high school too. The other one, and I liked Miss Snyder, I liked her in grade school. And Mrs. McGill. But mostly I like...
But Snyder. Not Effie.
Effie.
Was it Effie? Yeah.
Snyder. I liked her.
Yeah.
She's a big lady that I liked.
But she was nice, yeah. She was.
I didn't like Miss Mahaffey. Ooh. So don't like that.
I didn't ever have her, but I know there were people that didn't like her. Yeah.
And then the girls were always so crazy about Benny Hicks. Do you remember his name?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was teaching, I don't know what grade. But the girls were always making over Benny Hicks. And I never cared about men teachers. I just didn't care about him. He thanked me in. General science in grade school. He came to me when we moved in the house here. He said, "Did you ever forgive me for that, Mary?" I said, "I never have, and I don't think I ever will." And he died knowing that. Because I answered my questions after a fashion, but I didn't do it when he was around me. I didn't like him.
Did you?
I liked him as a person, but not
as a teacher.
Not as a teacher.
Mary, did you get to know Bill at school, or how did you get to know Bill?
Oh, he played with all the Thomas kids.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. The first year we were here, I met Irene, what did you think of her name? I can't remember. She's a blonde little girl, and she came up for Easter, the first Easter that I've been in 49. The kid came in February, March, April. And she came up and she asked me to go, I could come with her and go down to her house. The mom had to work and we could play games. And so I went with her down there. And while I was gone, down to Irene, this is down 5th Street. It's behind Dr. Patek's office. I don't know what they're doing now. Anyway, we were coloring eggs and having fun. Mr. and Mrs. Talbot and Bill all went down to Thomas, and they were all down there, and I didn't get to meet anyone. So one day he came down, he was out in the yard, and Kay called me, she said, Billy Talbot's out there. She says, you want to go talk to him? I said, no. But I went out, I went to the window and looked. I saw that little kid there. After a while, I don't know how we got to playing football, and I played for Dutch football. I got to know him. And then we were supposed to be studying in grade school. Yeah, we quit. I didn't like him, he didn't like me. I didn't go with anybody, really. I was friends with all the kids in the school, but not anybody to do. And then one day he came, you know, and I was going to the dance, down the Eagles, and I said, yeah. And he said, I'll see you down there. And then say, I'll take you down there, I'll send you down there. And he was. And then he didn't know how to dance. And that was his name, because he wanted me to teach him to dance. So, well, I did. I learned how to dance about the sheriff was here basement, and they had a phonograph all his round discs that ran records not but we.
Yeah,
come on. And it made a funny and squeaky sound, but it was music. So Ruth's big sister, I can't think of her name. She had a younger sister named Anna. Now the oldest one was Beth, but I'm not sure. Bessie.
Bessie for sure. Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. And then they stopped and had a dance. Oh, well, I wasn't the only one there. There was Gladys was there, and Ethel was there. Irene Sittler, I keep bringing her name up, but she died before we got to the house. So she didn't really go with us an awful lot. But anyway, we play the music. We step, slide, step, step, slide, step. Finally learned it. Well, then when Bill wanted me to teach you to dance, I said, I got it. Step, slide, step. And then after that was every Saturday night, 10 cents to get in the Eagles. And they picked up.
Was that when the Eagles was in the old Eagles Hall there
next to the elk.
Elk.
The old commercial club.
Steps would clump. Mm-hmm. And the floor did too. But it was fun.
What did they use for music, Mary? What made their music at those dances? Was it, did they have a band or a piano?
I think some of these guys just volunteered their music. I'm trying to think of what that fellow's name is that played it. He's an older fellow. And Bill Stoop knew one of the tall, fat, thin guys. He told me who it was. You know, I met Bill Stoop's wife the other day.
Opal.
I had known her for years. I met her at the Blind Shorty Candy Store. There I go, losing my train of thought.
Well, he was groundskeeper for the college, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Lou and Nick were involved when they were building 8th Street. But when we came, the normal school was already built. And I always admired the people that came out of the building. They always looked like tall people with black clothes on. They dressed in suits and the girls were dressing. Wore nice dresses. And so my dad and stepdad, he planted the flowers and the shrubbery, the trees. There's still some trees there that he planted. When they built the 8th Street Hill, he did that. He planted the lawn, all the lawns. And then, I'm kind of confusing myself. Then when they built Ackerman, then the boys worked on Ackerman. My brother Matt was a little kid. He used to go over and get some scraps of wood and bring it home to Mom. And, because we didn't have electric, so it's coal and wood. That's another thing. I had to get up every morning and build a fire in the cook stove and get the coffee on, stir up a batch of hot cakes. From scratch, you didn't get a package.
No.
You put it in from scratch, and then you build a fire and a heating stove in the front room with those big chunks of wood and start it out and give them, get up nice and warm and everybody. And then once a week, you had to take the ashes out. Anyhow, the families had quite a bit to do with the college, that is, the boys did, and the old man, he had a thing about the college, it was part his, because he was working for it.
I remember when he used to level the ground and plant it there was kind of a creek run through the college in those
Absolutely.
Early times there.
Yes.
And I remember he leveled that ground in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. I think Bill told you in his story, that creek, Bill used to fish in that creek day in and day out. Him and Mike and the kids would fish, and they'd catch little whatever they were. And then they'd take their potatoes and dig a hole and build a fire and bake the potatoes out there and then eat potatoes without salt or anything. And they played cowboys and Indians out there. But I can't remember who it was that said one time, but boy, if you ever get up, I just about thought who it was. If you ever get up to around those Thomases, you better watch out. There's a whole gob of them. They'll kill you. It looked like a whole gob, didn't it?
Mary, where did the Talbots live? Where was the Talbot house?
They lived in a big house down the street here.
We used to call it the Green House.
Oh, where the Green family mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they lived in this little house over here.
This Ware's house lived?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then they lived on 2nd Street and...
Well, Bill said they lived one time on the brow of the hill on this house that sits directly behind our
did.
House.
Oh,
did they live in that?
Yes. And he said there was a wooden sidewalk that went down the hill.
Yes, that's right.
So they always lived kind
in
of
in Old
up.
Town.
Yeah, well, some of the Talbots live up on A now, don't they, or doesn't
Rita?
Rita does, yeah.
Yeah, well, Rita's got the nursing, not a nursing home, a retirement home.
Oh, is she? I didn't know where she was.
But her daughter, Deanna, is living in
there. Okay, yeah.
Well, Mary, in those times, there were a lot of vacant lots between here and downtown.
Absolutely.
A definite division between Old Town and New Town.
And New Town.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about it the other day. Coming up 4th Street, there were so many vacant spots. Now, like where the moon is, that was a vacant, all vacant. There's nothing there. The Johnsons built the house on the corner, then Moon built that next house next to them. That was Harry's house.
Uh-huh.
Elmer always lived up on over in the other part of town. And then Ed built this little house on the corner.
Yeah.
And Eugene built the one on 4th and across from our old place.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then Eugene, I don't know whether he sold it or how they did it, but what's his name, Bob Harry moved into it, Harry and Annette. And Eugene moved out in the country where he built that beautiful big house.
On Black Hawk Trail.
Yeah, I don't know who lives in there now.
Nearing the dentist lived there the last I knew.
Who?
Nearing the dentist.
Oh, the dentist.
But I don't know if he still does or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, but it still looks the
same. Well, there was... Right over on 6th Street, there was a little old lady that had a house that kind of set into 6th Street there.
Mm-hmm.
And then all back up here on E and F, and that was all vacant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, Mary, when we first moved into town in, 45, and lived in that house down on 6th Street where, I don't know what's there now.
Well, the No Name Theaters. Now, yeah, across from the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see all the way, mm-hmm. you know, clear across beyond 4th Street. There wasn't anything, you know, it was just a big open field, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's before Bill Wilkins built those houses on 4th Street by the Lutheran Church.
That's right.
Right at the end of World War II.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. It doesn't even begin to look the same.
Yeah, we used to run out here, like you said, it was open. We'd go out there bird hunting.
Yeah.
And then, too, there were, where the fields are, there, what you call it, where they play football and stuff out here.
Uh-huh.
It was a regular field, and we used to go out there and shock hay, cut that hay down and shock it. Mm-hmm. We used to haul it to the barn because they had the cows.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see, Talbots lived up there, and they lived and Frank, the milkman, over there by the Great Spring, oh, high school.
And Tyler?
Frank something?
Tyler?
Tyler, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They lived over there in the house. And I'm trying to think. And then they lived over on Main, up on the hill over there. And they lived in the house for a short time, but they just moved out where they're digging all that work they're building now.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved, there was a house facing north. But it's right next to it. They took it out.
Uh-huh.
I think it tore it down. And they lived in several places. So did Bill and I. We lived in a cute little house up there, a two-room thing. It didn't have lights or water or nothing. Just two rooms. And the bedroom, you could get a bed in the bedroom. If you put it, the wall was here, and the wall was here, and there was the bed right there.
That was it.
That was the one by the crypt?
I know that was the one up there. The 101 Cedar.
Oh.
Oh, way up, yeah.
Way up. Uh-huh.
It's across from the night girl married.
Oh, Jenkins? Lee Jenkins?
Yeah, across from Jenkins.
The old, where the old courthouse was.
Absolutely.
Up there.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's funny, because I was thinking about that the other day. Bill took me up the first day of fishing season to Morgan Lake.
Uh-huh.
And the Lovins still live.
Still live up there in this whole place.
That's true. And, well, we were living in this little house. And Kerosene Lamp. I haven't heard of Kerosene Lamp. I wished I'd have kept it. It was really, really pretty. And I had bought a... I thought that was your paper boy. I had bought a... cook stove, the secondhand store that was down there on the crossing.
Lonnie, or was that Rogers?
I don't remember, but it was right there on the crossing. Anyway, they delivered the stove. It was an old black one, and it didn't have any legs. They put it on the floor in this little house. So that was our stove. Cook stove, heating stove, everything. We didn't have any wood. So I scavenged around for old tires. I bet the neighbors loved it. Remember old tires. So it was interesting. And to make... there was no cabinets, but you could buy, go downtown and get oranges, and they had these orange crates. And one
division
of those,
in the center?
Mm-hmm. You get two of those, turn them up, stand them up like that, and then put a board across, and you got a counter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Bill did. So I had that for the kitchen. And I went down to it wasn't called the WPA, it was called something else. But anyway, they gave me some material. I almost said that what they called it. And I made a curtain. Put it on a piece of wire and nailed it on this side, nailed it on this side, and in the middle. Then I put this curtain on there, so that covered the cupboards.
Uh-huh.
So you could put your...
Yeah. And you had your shelves.
Yeah. And then We got two more and put two of those in the bedroom and put a board across it on the mirror over it and I had a dressing table. See, that made the perfect... Well, anyway, I got enough material from these ladies down there. And I made curtains for those things. I made a curtain for the clothes closet. It's just built up there on practically the same thing. And for the window, and for the door to the bedroom, it's all the same.
Same material. Well, that's fine.
And I used that for a long, long time. I even had it here for a while till I got tired of it. The ladies did. Oh, yeah. When I was pregnant with Virginia, nobody gave me a shower. I didn't get a shower when I got married. And I didn't get a shower when I had Virginia. So I had to have some diapers and stuff like that. To mail it and not mail it. Mabel Ricks was working down at the Sacagawea Hotel. And there were several other known ladies. I can't recall their names. Anyway, she told me to go down there. She says, especially when she's gone. Whoever was the leader there. Come on in, she said, we'll do this. So I went in there. I watched. She told me when to come down and when to watch. As soon as this lady left, was out of sight, but I went in there. Boy, they gave me a couple of dozen of diapers. Nice, big, heavy diapers that women hemmed by hand.
Uh-huh.
And a little dresser that they made. And they put a little bit of embroidery on the collar, you know, right here. A little bit of embroidery. And nightgowns, long nightgowns for the baby. And belly.
Band.
Belly band.
Uh-huh.
So that was neat.
Yeah.
And a couple of receiving blankets with made out of flannel. And that was great.
People helped people, didn't they?
Yeah. I found that the people were kind and generous. Most generally, the poor people knew other poor people and they helped each other. Mm-hmm. And they were good. And I found them to be very sympathetic, very helpful. And I still see some people that I knew, and we always speak.
Yes.
But Sylvia asked me one day, and I think I was about 8 months old then. She asked me if I wanted to go to town with her. She had to go to the grocery store. So I said, sure. And she made me. Of course, I couldn't wear my dress like I used to, because if I put the dress on, it would be up here and down here. So I cut the top part of the dress off, made a skirt, but I didn't have a top, so she made me two of these tops like the painters wear now. What do they call them?
Smocks.
Two smocks.
Right.
To wear while I had my pregnancy. Anyway, I dressed up and went downtown with her, and we went to this grocery store that was underneath China Mary's.
Oh, the Safeway was down there.
Well, that's where Sweet Cross
was
working.
Sweet worked there.
Mm-hmm, and the other guy, the blonde guy.
Whitey O'Neill?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I was with Sylvia, and I was teasing the guys, and there was a Jewish noose there. I said, that looks like something a cat left. And they laughed. They thought that was real funny. just as I stepped out, there was this little something down in a bundle, a piece of paper that somebody had squished. And I couldn't bend down to get it, but I almost scooted down the paper, held it in my hand. Shirley says, "What have you got?" I said, "I don't know." She says, "Come on, let's go to the car." We went to her car, opened it up, and it was a $10 bill.
Boy,
really?
That was when $10 was worth $10.
Absolutely. You know, and Bill was smoking at that time. So Sylvia, she was a wise old fool. She says, "Come on, I'll tell you what we're going to do." She says, "We're going to get something. You're not going to give this to Bill." "To Billy," she called him. "You're not going to give this to Billy." She says, "He just smoked it up in there." She says, "You don't want to do that." And I said, "No, but gee, that was a lot of money." And we went to Montgomery Ward's and ordered a layette. She had me order a layette.
Oh, Gary, how fun.
And that was wonderful. It had a cap, it had more diapers, and two more blankets, made from blanket stuff, and those little t-shirts that babies wear. I have socks, and I still have that. A little comb, two big clothespin, safety pin, which was wonderful as far as I was concerned. And it provided what I needed for the baby. And of course I couldn't go to the hospital, so I had her at home, right next door. We were living in that Goddard.
Oh, up on C
Avenue. Goddard.
Of course Goddard lived up there.
Francis Collins' daughter.
Right.
Married to him.
Uh-huh.
She lived.
Yeah.
So that was only two rooms. Only they were larger rooms than the other house. And it had lights in it, but the water was out on the back porch. So Bill had to pipe the water in. I told him to put it in. I said, "All you have to do is just turn the coupling, the U-joint."
Yeah.
And put it in. So I had hot water. I had water in the house, and the heating. I mean, well, the heating stove and the cook stove was all one. It was only low stove, but it had a
coils, water coils in there.
Uh-huh. So I could put water in there, and it would heat the water. It worked out fine. I had the door on this side and the door on that side. But I could bake in it. Yeah. Kept us warm. Had hot water to use. And we didn't have cabinets in there. Hardy had lived there. I guess he didn't need that stuff.
Yeah.
But then Harvey moved up in the mountains. How come that house was for rent? And so then one night in wintertime, in one day actually, in the wintertime, I think I had gone down to visit Mom. And Jimmy and I had gone to Mom's house. And then I come home and the water was frozen. Because the pipe was open underneath there. So I thought, well, I've got to thaw that out. I built a fire in the stove to get the house warm. Put Jimmy in her bed. Mr. Talbot got a clothes basket. Which cemetery grows up, for her to have that to put her into, and he built a stand for it, so it was on the stand. And he painted it blue. And anyway, I had to find out water, so I got a piece of pitch. I mean, the woodshed, Jeff had his roof. I found a piece of pitch. I lit it and got crawled underneath the house. I was thawing that water and the orange cobweb.
Yes.
And his lips. Land of Goshen. Here I am going to burn the house down. I threw the thing down and grabbed a handful of snow. Threw it up there and I kept scooping up the snow. Finally got it out. I never did thaw it out. Bill had to thaw it out for me. He almost burned the house down.
Well, those when things were tough.
Yeah, for sure. But I was surprised by the town. I loved the mountain when I first saw the mountain. I thought it was beautiful. Because back home, they didn't have green trees like
that. No.
They had what do you call them? It's a berry and it's real bitter.
Junipers? Juniper?
No.
No.
Choke cherries.
Oh, yeah.
Choke cherries.
Yeah.
And look, cowboys. What do you call that stuff? The cowboys wear their shaft on account of chaparral.
Oh, yeah.
New idea. Shafts and chaparral. So they didn't, I didn't see the trees like this. I thought they were just gorgeous. Green trees. And Bill, isn't it funny, he even mentioned the other day about the mountains. And he liked the mountains and the trees. And he still, in matter of fact, Bill likes to go exploring. He's a road. And I'm getting so I'm just scared of steep mountains, steep roads, or winding roads. And he says, what's the matter with you? He says, you never used to be scared of that. But I said, I guess it must be because I'm older. I just, it scares the heck out of me. And you know, Bill is a good driver, but I never know when he might miscue. Bill is a perfect driver.
You used to take your trailer and go up the Elk Mountain?
Yeah.
All around?
Yeah. All those mountains, and I never think anything of it, but I do anymore. He wants to go up, up that hill and go on Mount Emily.
Fox Hill?
Fox Hill, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He wants to go up there to that lookout thing.
Up there to Crystal Springs?
I don't mind going in the other way.
Uh-huh.
But coming in this way, you look down there and,
long way down.
Yes.
The old road used to go up the face of the mountain.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did go. I don't think I ever went on that one. But I remember going in.
Surely must have gone back and forth.
Well, it did. There were a lot of switchbacks.
Yeah. Well, Mary, I think as we get older, we get more upset over things like that. I think that just, you know, you've lived long enough, you can see all these things that could happen. When you're young, you don't think anything can happen.
Think of it.
Right, but as you get older, you know, those things can happen. So, yeah, but I know I'm a lot more nervous about stuff like that now than I used to be.
Than you used to be.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So maybe we may have more sense than we used to have. Jeez,
I think so.
Yeah, I didn't
like it. I used to, down at home, I told you we had a nice brick building. I used to climb up on top of the school. And it had two stories.
Uh-huh.
And I'd climb over the barbed wire to get on top of the roof. Then I could look down on the street off the roof. Do you think I'd have guts to do that now? Richard, I still have. See where I got hooked on the right there, that on barbed wire.
Barbed wire.
It used to be more prominent, but I got hung up on the barbed wire, and I couldn't get it loose. I was hung up, and I just pulled it. Oh man, and that used to be tense. It still is. To touch it, there's nerve exposure. But the arthritis is taking over now. You think the person, you use your hands like that, but you wouldn't get arthritis, but you do.
Oh, sure you do, Mary. Yeah, those little old chunks of arthritis just come along and, you know. But maybe, because probably we couldn't stop ourselves from falling. And, you know, that's probably why we get scared.
Oh, yeah.
We're not as fast as we were.
That's right.
If you don't move as fast, or, I think it's just kind of normal. I think we can.
Several times you and Bill left LeGrand, but you always come back.
Mm-hmm.
This was always home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we went to